Thanks, Mark. And we're going to go back to surface water runoff a little bit on buffers or filter strips. I want to acknowledge collaborators on this project, specifically on the surface runoff, Heidi Asbjornsen, and she's actually at the University of New Hampshire now, Bob Zhao, that works with our group at Iowa State, Randy Kolka from the Forest Service, Mark Tomer, and Rick Cruz. Just to give you a kind of an overview of our overall project that we're looking at here, our overall hypothesis is it's a strategic placement of small amounts of perennial cover within our ag-dominated landscapes will have disproportionate benefits on biophysical and socioeconomic systems. And we have really four project components, and I'm just going to obviously talk about one today, but we eco-hydrology component, folks looking at biodiversity, socioeconomic, and then educational and extension aspects as well. And when I talk about perennial cover here, we're looking at restored prairie, diverse prairie. So we have 12 watersheds in a really it should be balanced incomplete block design in central Iowa. We'll get to the location in a second. Three replications, four treatments, and three blocks. Our four treatments are 100% corn-soybean system. The second is 10% reconstructed prairie, 90% corn or soybean, with that prairie at the toe slope position. Then we have one with 90% corn or soybean, 10% prairie in strips as we move up slope, about 160 feet between strips, edge to edge, to accommodate the local farmer's spraying equipment is what we did there. So he could get two sprayer passes. And then we have a 20% system with 80% row crop, 10% reconstructed prairie. The site location, we're really off the heavily tile drained landscape of Iowa. We're east of Des Moines, about 15 miles. For those that are maybe familiar, this is the Walnut Creek watershed. Keith Schilling and others have published a great deal on that watershed, and we're located within that. This is the site that we use, that we're studying, is on land that's owned by the Neil Smith National Wildlife Refuge. They're in Walnut Creek watershed. Ultimately, approximately 8,000 acres of that watershed would be converted to restored prairie. I think there's somewhere around 4,000 now, and they have some land that they own that local farmers crop. And so actually, that's kind of what we're working on. So we have site one here. This is called our Orbweaver site. Site two with six small watersheds, Basswood, and site three here, which is our interim site. The site history gets a little convoluted, but I want to give a little background on this. The watersheds were under primarily brome grass cover until the fall of 2006. Because the refuge did not want to break any lease arrangements with producers that were on some of their land, they had this land that was under a CRP brome grass cover that they were willing to let us use and go in and do some cropping in that area. It would be in their long-term management plan to go under restored prairie, but they weren't able to do that yet. We started instrumenting our watersheds in the spring of 2005, tried to collect some pretreatment data in 2005 and 2006, but we didn't have any runoff in either of those years. Treatment establishment in the fall of 2006 into the spring of 2007. We're working with a local farmer down there, followed his kind of his recommendations or what he wanted to do for management. So we did a tillage operation in the fall of 2006 to level these sites. Soybeans were planted into that in 07. In those areas where we were going to sow the prairie strips were obviously not planted to soybeans, but rather sowed with prairie seed in July of 2007. Could give you a whole host of reasons why we didn't want to sow the prairie strips in July. Kind of happened that way, that it ended up working then. This uses a no-till corn-soybean rotation, So 07 was soybeans, and then 08 was corn, and followed that same way. Mainly, they do inject or incorporate anhydrous ammonia for nitrogen fertilizer, and Roundup glyphosate is used primarily for weed control in the cropped area of these watersheds. And this just shows an example. This is our interim site. This is one with our strips. And this is one with just at the toe slope position. Just to give you a little idea of the watershed characteristics, we're from about a half a hectare up to about 3.2 hectares in size, with a slope ranging from about 5 to a little over 8%. What we'll focus on here is our surface runoff monitoring. We have H flumes at the exit of each of these 12 watersheds. We size those based on a 10-year, 24-hour precipitation event. So in Iowa, that's about 4.5 inches. Maybe it's the one thing that I'll say we've done right. We used SCS curve number for that. When you look out there for the contributing area, you think 2 or 2.5 foot H flume is probably too big. Why do we ever need something that big? We've had water flowing about 1.7 feet in our 2 foot H flume and about 2 feet in our 2.5 foot H flume. So we've needed it that size for the type of precipitation events we've had. We've had more than a 10-year return period storm out there. Auto samplers, we use similar to what Darren talked about. We have ISCO samplers there. We have pressure transducers in the stilling wells. We're using we are taking discrete samples, but every 1 millimeter of runoff from the watersheds, we're collecting, we're taking a sip, 300 milliliters. Three of those 300 milliliters are composited into a 1 liter sample. That way we can get some events from some samples from a small event, and quite a few samples from a large event as well. So we used the information that Darren and Kevin put together to help us in designing that type of sampling strategy. And this is what one of our sampling stations look like with our H flume and wing walls. We have our box for the sampler and sampler in there. Just to give you an example of some of the data that we've collected really since 2007, but this is a large event in 2010. We had about 12 inches of rainfall fall during a 3 to 4 day period down in this part of Iowa. So we had a lot of rainfall, a lot of runoff. For the most part, the samplers worked well. We did have one or two that malfunctioned. We had another about 4 inch event this last spring, and all 12 worked fine, and we collected almost 24 samples from each of the samplers. But this event, the dotted line, or dash line, is our 100% row crop, the flow, liters per second per hectare from our 100% row crop watershed. The solid line is the flow from one of our 10% prairie strip watershed, and you can see a reduction in that peak flow and something consistent with almost all of them tending to shift that, the timing of when that flow hits the outlet where we have our strips. Also shown on this are kind of our discrete samples for sediment concentration here, and you can see dramatically higher sediment concentrations with the upside down triangles from our 100% row crop watershed than we see with the circles in our 10% prairie strip watershed. So we're seeing tending to be a reduction in peak flow and a reduction in that sediment concentration for this example. Give you an idea of cumulative surface water runoff that we've had since 2007. You'll notice 2008 was an extremely, or well, 2008 was extremely wet, but 2010 was even wetter. We had almost 500 millimeters of runoff from our 100% row crop watersheds. The biggest take-home message here is that, in general, we're seeing lower total surface runoff from those watersheds where we have a portion of the watershed in prairie. It's especially apparent where we have the 10% just at the toe or foot slope position. If we look at sediment loss over that time period, we're seeing about a 95% reduction in sediment export from those watersheds where we have some portion of the watershed in restored prairie. We even saw that early in the time period of our study. 2008, we had some large rains earlier in the growing season in June, and in that case, we saw about 20 megagrams per hectare of soil loss. So about a 95% reduction in sediment loss again. And similar type reductions for, in this case, total nitrogen, not quite 95%, but we're about 90% reduction where we have the prairie filters versus the 100% row crop. And then with our phosphorus loss, total phosphorus here, again, similar, about 90% reduction in phosphorus loss from those watersheds where we have the mixed-use prairie and crop. And just an example, we've had some of the same problems with a few events where we're getting sediment deposition in some of our flumes. And similar to what we heard before, this is our 100% cropland. Here we have a 10% prairie, 90% crop. Didn't talk about it today. It's not really within the experimental design, but there are two watersheds, similar slope, similar size, that are 100% restored prairie that we kind of use as a reference watershed that Mark and others are collecting data on. And this is an example of the flume after that 4-inch rain in June of 2008. So I guess if I summarize this work, we've seen less surface runoff, sediment export, and nutrient export, even during years with substantial runoff where we have our prairie filter strips. Echo Darren's comment, the monitoring requires substantial maintenance and attention to ensure quality data collection. This site is about 1 hour from Ames, and we have a full-time a research technician and a host of undergraduates that work to try to maintain the site. I do think the sizing of that monitoring system before installation has allowed us to monitor and handle a wide variety of runoff events, which we've had during this period because of heavy rainfall. Acknowledge the funding sources, the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture, Iowa Department of Ag and Land Stewardship, the Forest Service, College of Ag and Life Sciences at Iowa State, and USDA through a sustainable research and education, and also the AFRI under managed ecosystems. If you want more information, you can Google strips at Neil Smith, and you can find more information about some of the other project components.
We'll take a question.
Yeah.
Just looking at the data, and you can correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah.
It looked like the buffers, regardless of whether they're at the toe or in strips, were about equal, and I did notice a difference between the additional buffer with 10%. The 10% seemed to be the most. Right?
Yeah, that's been kind of interesting. You know, with that 10%, all at the toe slope, that is the biggest area, you know, all in one location down there. And we do see a fair bit of concentration of flow within the watershed. And so that, you know, that large area at the toe to kind of disperse that flow seems to function very well right now. One of the things that I think could be interesting over time is with the strips, whether we get any natural terracing as we start to get some sediment deposition behind those, and perhaps over time a little greater benefit of those. But to this point, you know, really we've seen the best performance from that all at the bottom. You know, And in many ways, that could be the easiest for a producer to implement, but I'm kind of interested what happens over time, whether we see any additional benefit of those distributed strips.
One more. 10% is probably quite a bit more than most people currently have in buffer. What's the discussion? I know you had a socioeconomic component. How's that all going?
Yeah, great question. And so, you know, this could get into a whole nother story of why did we come up with 10%, you know, and maybe something over the coffee break. We ended up settling on 10% as our minimum size just because we wanted to try to see a difference. In the future, we'd like to do additional modeling to see, you know, can we go smaller with that? And our folks are just really doing a socioeconomic survey right now to kind of assess what would be, you know, kind of the willingness to pay for different things or what might landowners accept. So I think we could go smaller with that from some other modeling, you know, I've done myself. You know, I think we can go smaller with that, which then may make it even more attractive for the landowner. And perhaps it's not 10%, you know, in cumulative, but 10%, you know, in specific areas, and then a smaller percentage in those areas where we don't have the concentrated flow.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, Matt. My thanks to all the speakers for doing an excellent job of staying on time, and let's give all the speakers another round of applause.